I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there. How you going? Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30 here from the First United Bank studio. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Visual Edge IT hotline. Dr. Mike Gustafson with us as well, sporting a new finger splint. Same one. New accoutrements.
More aggressively bent.
Oh, okay.
So more painful, yes.
Oh, that's unlucky.
Say something to take my mind off of this finger, will you? You know, it's nothing a little bit of nail drilling won't fix, though, really. I mean, the mallet finger, get after that fingernail.
We have a lot to get to on the show today. We have a Texas Tech baseball series to discuss. Didn't go the way that you would have wanted. Just one of three, but still, I'd say a decent showing there in Morgantown against arguably, and I'm not even sure how much of an argument this is at this point, but the Big 12 front runner.
Yep, we're in good shape.
We have what I believe is the second Big 12 schedule release for the upcoming academic year. You know, we've had the football release that came out in late January, early February, a few months ago. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the, you know, what the Big 12 basketball stuff will look like, especially if they do follow through with that preseason tournament. We've talked a lot about the Big 12 baseball schedule and what that might look like with four new teams coming in this year. Well, we have a schedule. It's not baseball, it's not basketball, it's soccer, but still fairly interesting. So we'll spend a little bit of time on that. Not that we're breaking down the Big 12 soccer race for next year, but I think it's interesting to see kind of what format they chose versus what they, you know, had been doing before. And then, my friends, I don't know that this qualifies as necessarily a bomb, but I would certainly say something from like a grenade or mortar range dropped on us all today from a conference expansion disgruntled members standpoint, because this is substantial. It's kind of some of the stuff that we have speculated about and chatted about and waxed poetic about has now broken out into the open, and I don't know that we... In fact, I feel pretty confident in saying we don't know what the end result will look like here, but I think this is one of those days where you kind of just circle it and maybe go back to it 6 months down the road, 6 years down the road as
remember
kind of
that day.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
So we have all that and more to get to. Gus, how you going? Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, no doubt. You and I, we were preempted on Friday and missed each other a day or so last week and had a Rangers game. And yeah, it was there was actually stuff that prompted me to like write down notes as I was seeing them, just mainly like names and stuff, you know, because basketball's got some transfer portal additions and things like that. And as I'd read them, I'm like, ooh, I need to write that down. Just that kind of stuff. It's among several other things. But yeah, it's been I wouldn't call it eventful, but it's been, there's definitely some content here today.
Yeah, Clint?
It's all good.
How you going?
Going good. Pretty good pretty good Monday. Can't complain. Haven't had to put a needle in my fingernail to fix anything. So.
Are you on the path to recovery? I mean, are you confident in the direction now? Because it's been now almost like three weeks
on the finger, 2 weeks on the splint. So it's like another month on the splint. Yeah. It's called aggressive splinting.
I call it a creative way to flip off Aaron every day.
It is. With a like reflective.
Yeah, so he sees it. Yeah.
And he just, you can't miss that, can you?
No.
Silver.
Isolated. I can't tell which finger it is with all the other ones.
If you're riding a bike and it, you know, it, it's, you know, dark outside, it's kind of a safety deal.
Put an orange reflective triangle on there for slow moving thing. I think this, the way it gets taped on there, you put the things down there and tape it, and the way it didn't fall off, mm-hmm. you know, just during the day or even sleeping or whatever. So it truly is on about 23 and a half hours a day, which is as prescribed. And, but I had someone after a couple of cocktails on Saturday, someone drew something lewd on one of my pieces of tape.
Oh my gosh.
There. I know. So you kind of autographed.
Was it you?
No, okay. It was not. No.
Somebody. I'm not giving names.
I could say her name, but yeah, she drew it on there. Yeah, it was, you know, it's like signing a cast or whatever. That's what it was. It was lewd.
Were Aaron and I supposed to write a supportive message on there?
You can. There's some tape right here. I'll put it back on.
Never change. I don't know what they put.
Yeah, I know some yearbook stuff. Never change, Aaron. You're the best.
You always made me laugh in science class.
Yeah.
I think I've got
a ninth grade Evans yearbook because Todd Duncan and I used to play horse all the time. And he beat me, certainly. But there was enough competition there that there would have been a year or two later when I moved over to the spring sport and he stayed with the winter sport. But somewhere in there, I think I've got his little yearbook thing, you know, our little junior high, ninth grade yearbook thing where he signed it like, I'm still draining 35 footers or whatever. And I thought, you know, that's more appropriate now than it was in 1983. You know, like that's so, he was ahead of his time. But it was pre-three-pointer, right? And he was talking about draining 30 footers on me. So, yeah, that's very yearbook of you, Clint.
So you're going to have that splint on for another month?
Yeah, that's the word.
Do you recall the, and this is probably very niche, do you recall the Which Will Survive Longer deal, the Lettuce or Liz Truss, when she was the prime minister very briefly earlier this year?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, this was late. This was last year.
Yeah, that wasn't long ago. Huh.
So I guess my question is that splint last longer than the Pac-12?
Wow, the whole conference, huh?
Well, at least the Pac-12 as we know it, as a formidable, recognized power conference.
Do we do a Twitter feed of just the splint?
Right.
Like a photo of it every day at 3:00? Which one's going to last longer?
We also have this. This came out today, and I don't know that I ever expected to see this.
All right.
I mean, honest to goodness, I don't know that I ever expected to see this. Not that I'd spent much time thinking about it, but for the first time, as far as I've seen, a recognizable, reputable, national college football writer has predicted that Texas Tech,
yes,
the football team,
I saw that,
will be in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
I never expected to see that ever. And you know, you don't get a trophy for, hey, Brett McMurphy,
right,
predicted that we would be in the playoff, you know, hang it in the Jones. But still pretty neat.
Yeah, that was, that's it. Because remember, that's pre-12 team. This isn't we're going to make the 12-team field. Which would be wicked cool because of the home game possibility. You imagine, late December playoff game in Lubbock, Texas? Oh, I can't even conceive of that.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's the juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. Would love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. Kansas State football has extended head coach Chris Klieman. He's agreed to a new 8-year contract that will run through the 2030 football season. He's just 30-20 overall at K-State. Of course, led the Wildcats to a Big 12 championship this year. His new deal will pay him an average salary of $5.5 million per year, which, you know, is a nice upgrade from the 2.2 and change he was earning before. Wildcats finished ranked 14th in the final AP poll. The Memphis Grizzlies have suspended Ja Morant from all team activities after a video showing the star holding a gun began circulating on social media on Saturday. The Grizzlies announced the suspension in a statement Sunday, which was roughly 2 months after the NBA suspended Morant over a similar incident. On Saturday, during an Instagram live session on Morant's friend's account, the All-Star flashed a handgun while driving and singing along with a rap song. Like, what are you doing just, like, waving a gun around in a car anyways?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what the upside is. I mean, clearly just out having a good time, but he's got a little history there, right?
Like, I would think even – because I saw that Will Cain on Fox News was – I mean, kind of unexpectedly came to the defense of Ja Morant and cited the Second Amendment, which I guess is fair. But, like, you're not just supposed to be waving a gun around.
Right.
Right?
Did you see, like, Sauce Gardner's tweet at it? Like, he said, we all have guns. We don't need to flash them.
Well, yeah. No, right. I mean, you're supposed to treat a gun like it's always loaded.
Right.
Right? Like, never supposed to point it at anybody. It's not a freaking toy.
And again, the obligatory apology that he sent after the first time, he didn't learn from that when he knew how deeply hurt he had some of his fans and the organization.
A month ago?
Even about, like, whether this is some sort of, like, gigantic moral failing. This is just him failing the dumbass test.
Right.
Like, you just got in trouble for this.
Right.
You just got popped for it. You went to, like, didn't he go to South Florida to, like, some kind of rehab facility?
And he took a lot of time off, because I think the suspension was only, like, a couple games, and he was gone for longer than that.
What an idiot. You two can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. So how about this? The Big 12 releasing the conference's soccer schedule for the next academic year. Now, I'm sure we have some folks out there rolling their eyes going, okay, I'm not really that interested in college soccer. Fair. But I think it's interesting as kind of a glimpse into how they will handle some of these different sports.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe all 14 conference teams, or all 14 teams in the Big 12 now, offer women's soccer. And so, you know.
Yeah, because K-State added it before COVID, probably. Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, and maybe not obviously, I mean, I think it was safe to assume that you were going to play a round robin with 13 other teams. And so what they've done is, whereas before you played 9 conference games in soccer, so it was a true round robin, they have they've tweaked it, and it's now a 10-game conference schedule. So these teams are losing one non-conference series. The Red Raiders, if you're interested, will play everyone except for the 2 Kansas programs. I feel like that's kind of a, you know, that's kind of a ding. I think you want to play those teams.
You definitely want Kansas State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't get, though, West Virginia. Now, maybe Tom Stone feels differently because of RPI and all those things, but the Mountaineers typically very, very good.
Right.
And so if you're just kind of looking at this schedule from a manageability perspective, I would think that not having the Mountaineers on there is a good thing, although it probably is balanced out by no Kansas schools. Opening up with Houston, week one, Longhorns, week two. That's in Austin. So they've got back-to-back road games week two. They play Oklahoma at home. They play TCU at home. Oklahoma State at home. They're at BYU. They're at UCF. So pretty interesting.
Yeah, and the BYU thing, well, they'll be playing their Sunday game. It's usually got a Thursday-Sunday cadence to it. They're, when BYU's on schedule, it'll be a Thursday-Monday cadence. So.
That is interesting. I hadn't thought about that component. Let's see. BYU. Let's see. Mondays. Yeah, BYU plays September 25th in Austin on Monday. They play at Iowa State on October 2nd, Monday. They host K-State on October 9th, Monday. It's interesting, though. There's also a Monday there in October where everyone's playing. It's not just kind of a, you know, BYU day. That's the final. Oh, interesting. I wonder if that's kind of a,
like a tournament play-in type thing? Or?
Well, because in the English Premier League, and I assume this happens in other leagues too, the final day of the season, right, all games start at the same time. That way you don't have anybody scoreboard watching and, you know, feel like, okay, well, we're cemented into sixth place or whatever.
So we don't need to play.
Exactly.
Sure.
And so that October 23rd Monday, that's the final day before the Big 12 tournament starts that following Saturday. So I wonder if that will kind of be a similar deal where it kind of adds some excitement to that final.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, it really is an interesting concept. And I don't know who all – I mean, we've seen NFL modify the last weekend of their schedule, no Monday games. MLB's done this so that you don't have what – hey, well, AD and Clint played earlier, and since Clint lost, I'm submitted as the three. Everybody goes at the same time, and it creates true drama. It makes everyone be involved in their schedule. I mean, it's just that is an interesting – little thing that they throw in there, because it probably captures a few more eyeballs, because it's compelling. I mean, just, hey, you know, you're not that the athletes are doing this, but we as fans could be watching a game
they'll all be on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, and following that, especially if there's some true standings intrigue, there'll probably be that this weekend in baseball. Same thing where you know, scoreboard watching and, ooh, so-and-so beat so-and-so. And, you know, it's a whole lot more fun when all of this comes down to the last weekend or the last day or whatever it is. So yeah, that's cool. And I'm like you. The only other thing I would add to the soccer release was the notion that you'll play everybody at least every 2 years. You know, so if we're not playing the Kansas schools in West Virginia this year, then we'll be playing them in 2024. I'm still not comfortable with the next year being 2024 thing. Seems so far away.
Well, the interesting part about that, though, is that's not necessarily true, right? Because Oklahoma and Texas won't be here.
Yeah, true.
In time for that second year. So I'm curious how that works out.
Yeah, that's true. We're just setting it up for the good news that's coming, AD.
Sure. Just slot them in.
Just put Colorado in there where OU is. And
this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Is Clint still behind the glass, or did Jamie fire him too? That's from Tyler. No, Clint is still here.
It was Brennan who was getting fired.
The keys.
Why was Brennan fired?
Jamie was talking about how much he loathes country roads, especially after hearing it twice this weekend, and then true. Brennan played it as an outro.
Nice.
I was very proud
of him. Well, I mean, Brennan probably jammed that back when it first came out. I mean,
as old as he is.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's probably something. He probably has that on vinyl, I'd guess, like one of the original pressings.
My mom does, actually.
How about that?
Yeah. She's got a pretty solid collection of John Denver albums. Poems, Prayers, Promises, probably whatever Rocky Mountain High was on. Yeah, she's got a bunch of them. The early 70s vintage.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Remember Aaron, he's from Memphis. They shoot it up. Yeah, I mean,
Is it so bad? You gotta have like gun in hand.
No, hey, he's just being a moron.
You want to run down there to McDonald's? Yeah, hang on. Let me get my piece. Yeah. Like, dang, man, those are rough streets, man.
It's not Afghanistan.
There's McDonald's right there.
Jeez. Yes. Hey, more tech talk next. We'll talk some of this ACC realignment bombshell.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I hope that y'all enjoy our realignment theme song as much as I do, because I just cackle every single time. That's Tech
that
Talk.
Recorder just fades.
Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. Okay, so this will require a little bit of a setup. It was not that long ago, it was a few months back, that the ACC revenue distribution was kind of a topic. And the AD at Florida State went in front of the FSU Board of Trustees and gave a presentation. And while he was, you know, ostensibly presenting to the Board of Trustees, it was really more or less kind of a warning shot across the bow of the ACC, and he talked about how there is this growing revenue gap between what the ACC / Florida State receive and what the Big Ten and the SEC are about to receive. He was peppered with questions from members of the Board of Trustees. Again, this was just a dog and pony show for the media, for the fans, and to kind of give everyone a heads up that, hey, Florida State, we're not happy, and we want some changes. Alford has gone on to say, and this is more recently, that, quote, if you look at the revenue projections, they being UCF, should have a better agreement than we have by going out to market. That means there's going to be another school in the state that's going to have a better agreement than Miami and us, and that's just not acceptable to us. And we have been talking about for several weeks how there are some elements in the ACC that are not happy, that are disgruntled, that send their lawyers up to, I guess, Greensboro, North Carolina, to look at the grant of rights, to investigate it, to see if there's a way, some kind of loophole to wriggle out of it, because otherwise they're locked into the ACC until 2036. That has all been stuff that we have talked about on this show. Well, earlier today, Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated reported that 7 ACC schools have met. Officials from 7 ACC programs have met in the past several months with lawyers. The topic, how to break the grant of rights. Those 7 institutions, some surprises in here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you. Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina. No real surprise there. NC State, surprise. Virginia, and not surprised. Virginia Tech. So again, the 7 that have met, and we don't know if this is a physical meeting or a Zoom, but either way, these 7 appear to be in concert. Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, North Carolina State, Virginia, Virginia Tech. Very interesting.
Yeah, and you know because that reporting also included the idea that eight votes can get that done. You know, 8 votes can get this thing dissolved, if you will. And you and I, because you and I've always talked about it, the idea of, you know, Wake Forest didn't vote for this. The way, you know, and interestingly, Duke's names are not on there. But what you've got are big state schools. And think about the formula that follows. The big state-supported schools there. That follows a Big Ten model in terms of, big enrollments, long-standing alumni bases, big numbers, right? Whereas Wake, Duke, even though there's been success in different arenas, certainly in the basketball arena, it's not, you know, that hadn't been what's moved the needle. But the one holdout, if in fact this the eighth vote is what's required to dissolve something like this, you know, now that eighth school, who that is, and it becomes the standoff of the ages for the ACC. You got your Joe Manchin and Sinema over there, you know, just begging them for that last.
Yeah,
vote.
And I don't. And the tricky part about this is for you know those seven, is that I don't. No one knows. Right? I think that breaking the grant of rights or dissolving the conference, either of those things would be a gamble because it would end up in court. Because I think there are just as many people that would tell you that, you know, if you are trying to break up the ACC or whatever conference you're a part of, suddenly you are an interested party, to use a contract term, and therefore not allowed to vote, right? And that's why, and so, and then the grant of rights thing, that wouldn't end up in court. So it's really, really tricky, and I think my biggest takeaway from all this, Gus, is whether they're successful or not, and I tend to think that they won't be, is that suddenly there are just three conferences right now where the membership are fairly happy and mm-hmm. united, mm-hmm. right? Big Ten and SEC for obvious reasons, and the Big 12.
Yeah.
In the PAC, you have Oregon and Washington want to go to the Big Ten. Cal and Stanford were part of a, you know, Hail Mary attempt to get to the PAC or the Big Ten with USC and UCLA. You know, we've talked about Arizona and Colorado ad nauseum. And then now this ACC dysfunction has broken out into the open. And how do you coexist, right? How do you operate as a conference, you know, with half of the league membership wanting to punt, you know? And if anything, all this does would, in my opinion, hardens the resolve of the Boston Colleges
sure.
and the Wake Forests. Hey, man, forget you, buddy. Like, I'm not going to lighten my load right. here and give you more if you're just going to bolt anyways.
And that's been my argument with the Pac-12, the remainder of the Pac schools, the idea that, hey, West Washington and Oregon need, you know, they deserve more, and they do. I don't think you're going to placate them. I think you're just going to give them money that you should have kept. They're leaving anyway.
Yeah.
It's the pretty girl. It's the pretty girl analogy that we've talked about. She calls, he's gone, you know, and now we've got it on both coasts, because Wake and Duke and Boston College and who's left out?
Syracuse, Pitt, Louisville, Georgia yeah. Tech.
You know, and there's some, there's some nice, there's several of those that would intrigue me from just Big 12 fandom over here. And I don't get way ahead of ourselves, because I'm like you. I think I don't think this is going to work. I don't think it's going to be a quick solution. And then it's just the same thing. Like, what's Boston College game of going, hey, you're right, Florida State, you're worth Clemson, you're worth so much more. They're leaving you anyway, dude.
And the $5 extra million or whatever it is that Florida State gains or Clemson gains from an unequal revenue distribution model doesn't close the gap.
No.
It's pennies compared to what the Big Ten and the SEC will make.
And you're giving away money that you would really love to have yeah. someday down the road, probably. But what you said is exactly right. I think there's lines drawn in the sand. It becomes a very expensive game of Survivor. Everybody's trying to partner up with somebody and we're trying to predict what they're going to vote for and who's on our side and who's you with us? You with us? You sure, right? Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting thing to watch play out. It really is. I'm glad that we're not center stage, because 10 years ago we were center stage in all this. And I say we, certainly the Big 12 and even Texas Tech, going, hey, we're going to end up in a good place, right? The answer to that is obviously, as we look at it at this point in time, yes. But there was, you know, there was a long time there that these were nervous conversations for us.
2 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now I don't know that I've ever been more confident about
mm-hmm.
Texas Tech kind of making the cut.
I agree. Now, I don't know what that cut looks like, and I've always used, when we've talked about this, I've talked about it in 2036 terms. Hopefully in 2036, if the ACC thing plays out and that's, you know, 2036 becomes the demarcation point, you know, in which everything's consolidated or the top 30 teams become the Super League or whatever, hopefully we've got time to get ourselves positioned to be at that level. And I, you know, but that's, I'm with you. I love the stability. I'm excited. I'm generally just, even us talking soccer, I'm intrigued by the, I'm intrigued by just seeing new brand, you know, the new brands and what that's about. Because let's face it, soccer will be the first thing we get to lay our eyes on because they start on August 17th.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. We'll continue this conversation next on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We would love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3. .com. So you want to know who's not thrilled with the leak today, the report today about those seven ACC programs that have met, I guess, in secret or semi-secret about potentially breaking the grant of rights? Because you would think, I think it stands to reason, that if you're looking to break the grant of rights, you feel fairly confident that you can find another home conference-wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine that NC State and Va Tech would just, you know, jump without a parachute.
Right.
Or some kind of assurance. Or a pretty good idea. So, you know who's probably not feeling just super hot right now?
The Blue Devils?
No. Oregon and Washington.
Ooh.
Because suddenly, if Virginia and North Carolina are available,
they're just right there. When you look at it on the map,
they're a lot more valuable.
Yes.
I don't care how mediocre their football results have been, really ever. In terms of brand, in terms of population, right? In terms of all those things, and even academics, which the Big Ten, to its credit, walks that walk generally. Virginia and North Carolina fit their profile infinitely more than either of those two Pacific Northwest programs, and they aren't another geographic outlier.
That's what I was going to say next, is there's way less risk. If this UCLA-USC thing is unwieldy, cumbersome, whatever, you know, if that becomes a problem, you know, and we don't really have a tremendous precedent for things getting undone, you know, Nebraska hasn't come back to the Big 12 right, because their time in the Big 10 has been a mess, or et cetera, you know, South Carolina hasn't been spun back into independence or whatever. I think in terms of the risk, you could see where the Big Ten membership's going, hang on a minute, Oregon and Washington. We need to do this a couple times through to see what this is going to be like. And again, it's this really interesting composition, I guess, of the decisions made around football. I mean, we know that. We all know that. Football's 97% of this thing, mm-hmm. in terms of the sport that's going to deal with it most easily is football, because they get on a charter flight on Friday afternoon and they fly back on Saturday after the game. The ones for whom this is going to be the most unwieldy are the ones that aren't really, the decision's not based on them. And that is baseball, soccer, softball, track, tennis, golf, etc.
That was kind of like...
Like that?
Yeah, it was melodic almost.
And I left out basketball, but basketball's a little bit in there. Basketball's going to be an interesting thing because I would think there's going to be some travel partner type scenarios where you come in on... You know, you might come in on and play them on a Thursday, Sunday type thing on the West Coast.
Well, and I think, too, with Oregon and Washington, we kind of just, like, color in the whole map of California, right? Because, hey, USC and UCLA are in California, but they're in Southern California, mm-hmm. right? Which is quite a hike from Eugene, Oregon and Seattle, Washington. Those two programs are just as much of a separate, different geographical outlier as part of a Big Ten as the two LA schools. So it's not like you're adding some kind of regional partners here the way that, you know, West Virginia and Pitt and mm-hmm. Cincinnati kind of would be, you know, in the Big 12. It's totally different.
That's a great point. We want to lump that whole West Coast thing together as we talk about it and think about it. Yes.
The states touch, Gus.
And yet we would never sit here and go, well, Tallahassee and Boston, you know, Florida State and Boston College.
Yeah.
You know, we don't even think about them in the same breath, and yet we're doing that to these potential Big Ten partners. The thing that becomes interesting to me then is just as... Again, back to Commissioner Yormark's office, he can watch this with intrigue and look then at, you know, hey, Oregon and Washington, y'all interested in what we got going over here? Because they're the ones playing the domino game of, you know, if Colorado and Arizona jump out of that deal, you know that your league is weakened to a point. You know that this thing may crumble around you. So where do you want to stand in this? It really is an interesting like game theory. There's a lot to all this. Well, this is interesting.
It's a great point because you almost wonder if, and I don't know how they would know this, but this almost plays into the Big 12's hand. Because if you have Colorado ready to jump, even if Arizona is having cold feet, and I haven't read that, I'm not reporting that, just hypothetically.
Sure.
With this ACC news, you know that those seven programs want to leave, right? Or at least exploring it. And just as important as those seven programs listed are the ones that aren't, right? If the bottom falls out of the ACC, they will want someplace to land. And listen, Pitt and Louisville might not be good enough for the SEC or the Big Ten, but they would fit right in the Big 12.
Especially with our new additions.
Right.
And new being West Virginia and Cincinnati. I mean, how perfect is that? That would
be great. I mean, Louisville has won a national championship in basketball not that long ago, a Heisman Trophy not that long ago. They have played in big-time bowl games not that long ago.
Absolutely.
They care about athletics. It's a major metro area. That's a win. And then Pitt, you know, Biletnikoff Award winner. They care a lot about basketball.
Golly.
Major metro area.
History.
Regional partner with Cincinnati and West Virginia. A lot to like there. And so suddenly on both of your flanks, right, from a Big 12 perspective, and that's where your location helps because you can kind of shift and you know, kind of show your leg to some ACC teams and also in the pack.
And show your middle finger to some others.
Yeah, you can go, listen, hey, you know, Oregon, Washington, if you don't want to jump now, that's fine. We'll just bide our time and pick up Louisville and Pitt because that works just as well for us.
What 10 years ago felt like it was a disadvantage becomes an advantage. The Central, you know, our conference being Central, because I remember thinking, man, we're just getting picked off because mm-hmm. we're in the middle. There goes Colorado here. There goes... You know, the Big Ten,
sure.
Missouri and Nebraska, and you know, now we get to sort of be in the middle, and we're just a snap.
Be everywhere.
Yeah, we're about a snap away from having the you know, the fourth time zone added, and I mean, it really does. You know, it also creates an interesting scenario for Utah. Like, still high on your horse over there? You're still certain that you want to stay in that conference?
Because
they're the ones playing Survivor right now. They're the ones over there going, hey, you're not leaving, right? I mean, if they're adamant that they don't want to come to the Big 12, if they're adamant that league's going to stay together, as has been rumored, then okay.
I think if you are a university president or a university AD, your ultimate goal here, your North Star at this point should be, if you're a Power 5 AD or president, my university needs to be in whenever this thing breaks, right? Whenever there is a schism, whenever there is a contraction, whenever the Super League or whatever you want to call it breaks away, if that is a larger configuration, 60 teams instead of 40, you want to be in that 60.
You bet.
Right? And I think the best way to ensure that at this point right now, based on everything that we've seen, hey, you're either in the Big Ten, the SEC, or the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
I feel crazy saying it, right? But the ACC, the best of the ACC want to go to the Big Ten. They want to go to the SEC.
Sure.
And the Florida's going to change.
Yeah, and the southern tip of that, the Florida FSU Clemson, they want to go to the SEC. We get that. But, man, they don't want to be, you know. And I tell you what. The interesting thing is the other school that's left out of that conversation back to the ACC is Duke. And when you start talking about the Big 12 as the best basketball conference and a commissioner that's very, very basketball-centric, wouldn't that be fun?
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickin. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'll have coverage of the Texas Rangers tonight as they take on the Atlanta Braves. First pitch, 7:05. We'll have it for you here on Double T 97.3. Red Raiders go to Morgantown this past weekend. Drop 2 of 3 to the Mountaineers. Effectively ends any kind of Big 12 championship hopes in terms of the regular season crown. RPI-wise, though, it helped quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't just, it wasn't all bad.
RPI sitting at 41 as we speak. And so that's been a number that's been hovering down there in the high 50s, 60-ish.
Sure.
Yeah, and so this is a much better spot to be in. And you said it, mathematically eliminated from any hint of a regular season title or any share of it or whatever. I never like sitting here going, gotta have a sweep. But this weekend, I mean, the difference between a sweep and not a sweep, 2 out of 3, for example, and certainly anything less than winning the series could be traumatic, if you will. 2 out of 3 this weekend creates a 500 record. And I've told you, I don't think that's a great place to be in this year. Not in this year's Big 12, as I tap the table with my middle finger. 13-11, 37 wins, RPI in the 40s, not bad. You know, that's probably on the better side of the bubble. You know, I don't think it creates a scenario where we're sitting here a week from now, you know, breathlessly laying out all the got to win 2 games in Arlington. You know, I don't know what that'll be. And you know, we usually way overplay the conference tournament. You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I think we do it in
every
basketball, baseball for sure. The ones that we really dig in on, everybody. What happens if we lose this game today? You know, and I don't know the answer to that, but you've got the team that's going to be, I believe, the 8 seed, barring a miracle in Kansas. You got them in this ballpark where we've played teams really tough this year. You got to find a way to string together 3 good performances here, and A 2 out of 3 doesn't bury you, but I think, or doesn't bury the ball club, but I think it puts them, you know, just, I think they go down to Arlington on the bubble. Yeah, I'm, you know, the performance on Friday was big time by Beckel. You know, winning that, it was a 3-2 game into the ninth, and they got a couple runs and iced it, but what he did was special. The performance on Saturday was a disaster, and then yesterday's game was pretty dang competitive. But West Virginia also showed us that why they've got a chance to host, why they probably will host, why they probably will win the Big 12 regular season. I mean, they're a good club. I mean, and then, you know, think about it, AD. This is what, number 6, preseason number 6?
Yeah.
It's really a cool story. And it reminds me of the K-State teams that K-State wanted, I believe, 10 years ago. And it was a team like this that I don't want to say came out of nowhere, because they had strung together a bunch of NCAA tournament appearances, but suddenly they were finding ways to get wins where they hadn't gotten wins before, and, you know, the conference champs. And so the intrigue about this weekend is that they got a chance to go clinch in Austin, which, you know, that's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
sorry, I'm trying to do some math here in terms of how various outcomes this weekend could affect. Because I feel like
there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. There is,
yeah. Yeah. Because the matchups are K-State and TCU, which has all sorts of implications around us. West Virginia at Texas, and Bedlam, OSU playing in Norman. And so all of those are intriguing. OSU's chasing West Virginia, but they can play. They can, you know, they're a game back, right? Is that right, or are they 2 games back?
Oklahoma State, yeah. They are 2 games back.
Ah, okay. So yeah. West Virginia can clinch with a win. Their magic number is probably 2 right now, if I had to guess.
It seems to me, and I welcome somebody kind of checking my homework here. Seems like the best that you can do is a tie for 3rd with Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. K-State needs a sweep TCU, right, in Manhattan. West Virginia needs a sweep Texas. Oklahoma State needs a sweep Oklahoma, and Tech needs to sweep.
That's a lot of sweeping.
Right? No, I mean, it's not going to happen.
And we had that one weekend a couple weeks ago where 3 of the 4 did sweep.
If that happened, the Mountaineers would obviously win the Big 12 championship. K-State would be 2nd, and then you'd be in a 3-way tie for 3rd, all 3 at 13-11, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech. And then Texas would be at 500.
And in that scenario, we would be the 3 seed because we took series from OU and OSU this year.
There you go. All right.
Which again, you know, and they're probably way smarter about this than I'm giving them credit for. But I just like for when that standing sheet gets passed around the table, you know, and their big packet of information, that we're listed 3rd. You know, that's what I'm getting at. You know, and that's what I've said all year long. I don't think there's any magic to it, but just the optics of looking down there, oh, there's Texas Tech listed 3rd on the sheet. In a 3-way tie, mm-hmm. by that scenario, and that's a big ask. What you just described
it's astronomical.
Huge. But just the closer to the top you can get, RPI sitting up there in the 40s, hopefully in the low 40s, the you know 41, 42, whatever, and 37 regular season wins, and you know we're like 4-4 against top 25 teams. I think that's right. You know, and Iowa's helping us. You know, so I think we're 9-12 against top 50, which probably isn't great, but it's not a disaster. It's not 4-17 or something. I assume it's got 3 seed written all over it, but it's not mailed in. It is not mailed in right now. And hopefully they'll, you know, take care of business this weekend. And of course, this weekend being Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, it should be a fun. It's fun when there's something going into the final week. And 1 year, I think in 2016, when we went 19-5, which mm-hmm. is the best 24 since this has been a eight series 24 game league. We clinched it on our open week. We were taking finals, like, oh hey, yeah, pop the champagne, fellas. You know, like I was sort of like, can we wait and clinch? Now the next year, And it's good that we can talk about it this way. Oh, 2019 was so much better because we beat TCU here to clinch, you know, but it really is. That stuff's more fun when you win it on the field and Kirby's out there with the trophy and that's good stuff. It's cover of the media guide type stuff,
you
right?
You think there's going to be a new Big 12 trophy?
Yeah. Well, if they change
or they just change the teams.
Well, it depends on that logo and the name of the conference change, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think they go back and retro stuff, but I mean, if this becomes the Continental Conference or whatever,
The reason I ask is because every conference school has kind of a spare trophy in a closet somewhere so that if you do clinch at home, you can trot it out there and kind of present it, and then it goes back in the closet and you kind of get the real one later. The one that Wes Kitley and his team hosted over the weekend.
There you go. Which, that was awesome. That's good. Super that's a, cool. That's a fun thing to talk
Powerhouse.
About, too. You bet.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.